Hey, Mary, you're muted.
All right, y'all. This is Mary with Women Arise, and we have Dr. Tamika here. I'm going to be honest. Right now, I cannot see anything. The only reason why I came on is because Dr. Tamika said I'm muted. Hi, Georgette. I can see the comments, so that's good. I'm glad to know that y'all are able to join us live. So, with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started. It's been 2 weeks, you guys. We have had a chance to hear about decision making and communication. And so that's what we're talking about today. I also want to give you a chance. Hey, Fallon. I also want to give you a chance to join us live. If you're interested. And so if you're interested in being a part of today's podcast as we talk about communication, then I'm going to share the link inside of the Women Arise group. How's that sound? And I'm going to post it right now. And that will give you a chance to come on in and jump in so you can actually talk to us and we can all conversate together. Now, let's see. Yep, I'm posting it right now. But if not, we love comments. Comments are great. And so we would love for you to just however you want to communicate with us today, you are more than welcome to do so. So, Tamika, Dr. Tamika Brown, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Miss Mary Kane. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Y'all, listen to what has happened. First of all, I'm sorry. I apologize for us being late today. We're having some streaming issues, but nevertheless, I left my phone. Couldn't find my phone before we got here for the podcast. And then the internet started. I'm having internet issues where I'm at the location that I'm at. So I'm already getting like a firsthand glimpse at the importance of communication, because if there's one thing that I hate being without, it's my phone. I hate not having access to what is necessary for easy communication. And like nowadays, everybody needs a phone. Everybody needs something to stay in touch with one another. And when we talk about communication, some of the things that were discussed inside of this group was that God created us to be in relationships with one another. He desires to communicate with us. And as his followers, he not only gives us the gift of communication, but he also places us in community. And it's up to us to use our ability to communicate for good. The word of God tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so that's what we're going to start off with today. The necessity of communication. Why is communication so important? And so let's start with Dr. Tamika. I'll go ahead and just tell us, why is communication important to you? Hi, Helen.
Helen is my mom. Communication is important because that's a way of life. It's a taught behavior. It's something you learn. You have to use your words. You have to speak. So it's very important. Like you just previously said, it's important as we walk with Christ, in order for Christ to hear, even though God knows our heart, we still have to communicate with God. So I believe communication is very important, especially for believers, and it's important that we always examine our communication.
Definitely, I agree. I think communication is one of the areas that we tend to struggle with as people in general, but especially as believers. So much that I believe it's in the book of James, he tells us to be quick to hear and to be slow to speak. Be quick to hear and to be slow to speak. And obviously, James knew at that time the importance of, because communication is not just about talking. There's more to communication when you talk about language and things of that nature. There's more to it than just what you say. but it's also what you're receiving, you know? And I think a lot of times when it comes to communication, that's where things get lost. A lot of things get lost in translation because we're so quick to always speak that we are not always taking in what we need to listen and to understand what's being said. Inside of the video, there are some strategies and some skills that they gave to help us be better communicators, to help us be better at communication. Do you have any skills or strategies that help you when it comes to communicating with others?
I'm getting better with communication. Even this week episode, listen, I think we don't understand the importance of deliverance. And just kind of like you say, based on James 1:19, it specifically says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Right. When we speak in angry, we fail to show God love. And I think most of us, we react. We feel that we respond because we feel that we may be under attack, or instead of us truly sitting and truly listen to the person, because the most people that we communicate with, they love us, they care about us, but how do we receive that communication? Why is your guard up? So one thing that really stuck with me, when she said you have to learn how to discipline your mouth.
That
stuck to me because that's something that's hard to do for many of us. How do you discipline your mouth? How do you really sit back and sometime allow someone to communicate and you just listen?
Yes, discipline in the mouth. That's an area. I'm not going to say that's an area that I struggle in, but it's an area that I've had to work on, is learning to, I've had to learn that not everything has to be said. You know, sometimes it's just good. Sometimes people, things that they say, they just want to get it out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've learned that I don't always have to have a response. I don't always have to react. Sometimes, you know, and I had talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, sometimes you just need to be still and allow what needs to be said, allow them, whoever, to say what needs to be said, and to keep it moving. Let things be. Like, you don't always have to respond to what is being said by somebody else. That's one of the things that I've had to learn, because, I've had to learn the hard way, because I was somebody that always wanted to get the last word. And I've found that with some people, you trying to get the last word, y'all are going to be talking for hours, going back and forth, mm-hmm. because y'all are just like, when it comes to communication. But I've learned what James, did you say 1:19? Is that what it was, Dr. Tamika?
It's James 1:19, yes.
James 1:19, when I learned to really take in what is being said, what is that person saying, and take it from a sense of, okay, don't be defensive, but they're trying to explain, this is their way of communicating to you. And when I've learned to take that in, to be still, and allow them the opportunity to just be heard, you know, mm-hmm. then I've found that a lot of times things that could have been, that would have been escalated, have now been dissolved. And I've been able to just live in peace a lot of times when it comes to those types of situations. Georgette says, be just as compassionate in listening as you are in speaking. Yes, thank you. Listening doesn't come well for everybody. I believe it was on the video she talked about, she mentioned that sometimes when people are talking, we're already trying to have an answer for what they're saying. So listening doesn't always come well. How do you feel like you do in that area of listening?
I guess it depends on the tone of the person when they're communicating with you, because if their tone is, say, for instance, it could be something that they wanted to say but didn't know how to say it, and eventually they get the guts to tell you. So it also depends on the deliverance, on how you respond. with the communication. But what I like what I heard you say is, and what I was thinking about, okay, so she says she's learning not to respond, but how do you still stay engaged when you're learning not to respond when someone is communicating?
Ooh, learning to still stay engaged. Wow, that's a good question. I believe you can respond, but you have to be wise in the response that you give, you know. What do you say about that? That's good. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. How can you, are you saying that, okay, by not responding, you're not engaging in the conversation? Is that what you're trying to say?
And even with that, because even if you're not responding, you're trying to take in everything that they're saying and not picking up on the deliverance, not picking up on certain words, not picking up in fence. So how can you stay engaged with not being offended?
Right.
We're respecting the person that's communicating with you, but allowing them to know that I respect you enough to listen. So I'm just wondering how that will actually look when you're not responding. How can you stay engaged with the conversation? Because even with not responding, the person may see it as you're not listening, or you don't value my feeling when you don't say nothing.
So that comes into effective communication skills. And now one of the things that I'm gonna be honest, for my marriage, one of the things that really worked in my marriage when it came to communicating is from a book, and Lord, if I can remember, it was a book that dealt with this whole scripture that we're on right now, James 1:19. And in the book, it basically you give that person a chance to say what needs to be said. And if you are to respond, you don't respond in a rebuttal, you don't respond in a reaction or by taking defense. You respond with what they said to allow them to let them know that you heard them. So for instance, Dr. Tamika, if you come to me and maybe you have a problem, or maybe it's a problem against me. Maybe you're coming to me with something that's happening to you on the job or anywhere else. Then my response is to repeat what you told me to make sure that I understood or I heard what came out of your mouth. That stops the person that is listening from not overthinking, or it prevents them from overthinking, and it prevents them from trying to have a response to what was being said. It also makes sure that they are listening effectively, and it lets the other person know, if that was you, it would let the person who is doing the talking know that, hey, she understood what I said, because she was able to repeat what I said to show that she understood it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think one of the ladies said that she kind of regurgitate kind of what they said. And she said, this is what I think you were saying. She kind of regurgitated it. And they kind of made fun of her, because that's the way she communicates. She learned that from her counseling, regurgitating it back out of respect to make sure that you got it correctly when they deliver communication to you. So that's what I'm hearing you saying, that you kind of do the exact same thing.
You just did it. Yes, exactly. And she's right. It's a counseling. It's an effective counseling tool for couples, you know, mm-hmm. or for people who are in relationships. It's very effective. When I started doing that, when we started implementing it, because I was in school and I was like, oh, this is good. Like I needed that. I needed that, because I knew that there were certain aspects when it came to communication. Like there were certain buttons, you know, if it started getting pushed, then I didn't know how to have the self-control when it came to my mouth at the some of the time. And so I saw that as something that was very effective, and we gave it a try, and it made a difference. It truly made a difference. Georgette says, when the other person is speaking, be engaged as a listener. At times you can ask, can I interject for a minute? Or sometimes if there's a break in what that person is saying, or if there's a pause, then that is your opportunity to speak. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and kind of shift to another aspect of communication. We're going to talk about the power of life and the power of life that is in our words. How can your words breathe life into other people? And how does this apply to the people right in front of you every day?
The one thing that really stuck to me, another thing that I watch, and I think when you think about it this way, I think you will actually pause before you say something. One of the ladies says, no matter where you are, but when you're communicating, does it leak Jesus?
Mm. That's right.
And when I heard that, I said, that is a powerful way when it comes to communicating, because James also said in 3:8 that no human being can tame the tongue. He says it's a restless evil full of deadly poison.
That's right.
So when we speak about God, even when we speak about there's life and death in the power of the tongue, even when we come into Christ, that's the same thing when it comes to our relationship, our communication. It's not just speaking to God. There's life and death in everything that we communicate with. So are you speaking life into individuals? Are you speaking death? And that's when you got to really think about, am I leaking Christ? Am I leaking Christ in this moment? Because our whole agenda as believers is to allow someone to see the Christ in us. So when I thought about what you're just saying, it's just saying, when I communicate, I truly need to sit back and ask myself, does it leak Jesus?
Yeah, we have to ask ourselves, there's a scripture, it's on my tongue. Words have the power to build up or to tear down, you know, and oftentimes we don't always realize what our words have the power to do. And you never know where somebody is at in their life, which is why you really have to be careful with your words. Mm-hmm. And what you say, and not just what you say, but even the tone that you say it in, because tone matters just as well as what you say. When you talk about breathing life into somebody, you know, I think about, I don't know why this is coming to me, but it's the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones, mm-hmm. and how God told Ezekiel to go and to prophesy to the bones. And he said, when you prophesy to those bones, the moment that he began to speak to those bones, the bones began to come alive. They began to come together. That is the power that we can have. But if we don't use the power that we have been given with our tongue and with our voice, then how many people around us need of words of encouragement? How many people around us? Y'all, just even today with everything that was going on when we got onto this podcast, you know, simple things that Dr. Tamika did, like just in the chat talking about, hello, beautiful ladies, you know, simple acts of kindness can go a long way when it comes to communication. You never know what somebody's day has been like. And your simple acts of kindness, your words of kindness are like seeds being deposited into somebody's soul that has the ability, whether they know Jesus or not, it has the ability to produce something great and for them to even know Christ at a later time or even then because of the words that you spoke. Because of the words that you spoke. So yes, definitely the power of life is so important when it comes to our words. Let's see. Do you have any other scriptures, Dr. Tamika, about the power of our words?
You know, one thing I'm thinking about hearing you talk, because I'm actually doing study in the book of Acts, and I'm looking at Apostle Paul. And even though, kind of in the same similar with Jesus, even though they were trying to say he broke the law, and this is before he went to Rome, and he's, you know, he still speak with respect. He still addressed it, whether it was King Agrippa, he still spoke with them, or Herod, with respect, even though he knew there was taunting his character. He still acknowledged them. He still spoke with respect. And another thing that I thought about, because I love Apostle Paul. You know, he's one that just, he loved God's word, and he knew the word, and he studied and he meditated on it. And you could tell by the way, when you start studying, you know, what he wrote in the New Testament. Apostle Paul also stated in Ephesians 4:29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, yes, that it may minister grace to the hearts." So when you look at the word just alone, corrupt, because I had to actually define corrupt. I looked at the Greek meaning of it, and I also looked at the Webster definition of it. It means rotten fruit. Webster defines it as dishonorable, improper language, spreading rumors, participating in gospel, and circulating lies. And when you think about that, I kind of felt guilty, because when you look at corrupt, you may just say, oh, it's just rotten fruit. But there's a lot that goes with corrupt that you may be participating, yeah, in, that God consider as being corrupt. Gossiping, circulating lies, improper language, spreading rumors. Those are considered corrupt. So when I think about that, I just said, there's a lot that we have to work on when it comes to communication. You know, you can't just take the word and just say, well, I communicated the way they communicated to me. Okay, also, when they communicated to you, did you contact someone else to communicate about that conversation? So that's a form of gossip. That's considered corrupt.
Yeah, definitely. And when you talk about the fruit of corruption and it being, when you were talking about the fruit, I thought about mold and how mold grows on the fruit. And, you know, the minute it touches another fruit, it is contaminated. And so, and it does it so quickly, you know, all you gotta do is just kind of be around it just for a little bit of time, and it begins to spread. And so exactly what you're saying, Fallon said, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Thank you for that. Yes, yes. Our conversation, what are we saying? I was I was in a group yesterday, and we weren't talking necessarily about communication, but we were talking about character. And one of the things that that I said was, you know, your character is who you are when nobody else is around. And oftentimes our communication reveals our character. You know, the words that come out of your mouth is revealing who you are, and who you are is revealing the Christ that is in you, or the God is revealing the God that you're serving, you know? And so if you were to think about, okay, if everything that I say, what if, and I get it, y'all know we're not supposed to judge nobody, but I'm saying if we were being judged, if somebody was looking at the words that came out of our mouth to determine the fruit and to determine whether or not that fruit is it God, you know, is that Christ, you know, what would they think by the words that we say? What are they thinking by the life that we're living? What are they thinking by the words that they hear? So this was a great, I think this was a great video, and time for communication. One of the questions that it has inside of the leader panel, it says, it's talking about decision-making, and it says, how can we take what we have learned about decision-making and tailor our communication when we work in partnership with others to be more effective to reach our goals? So what are some of the things that, if you guys had a chance to watch, thanks, Charlena says, great communication. Thank you. I'm sorry, I haven't been posting the comments. Thank you, Charlena. What are some of your takeaways from even decision making that you gained from some of the previous videos?
Well, we have to make decisions in everything in our lives. So I say, you know, it depends. When it comes to decision making, we determine whether we go to God or we just make a decision out being irrational. But God wants that intimate relationship with Him. So when it comes to decision, the first thing I think is always slow to anger, slow to speak. I mean, you really need to be connected with God when you make any decision. Does it look God? Does it show God in me? Or am I making decisions to please the flesh because this is what I want to do? Or am I making decision because I'm walking according to God's plan for my life? Sometimes we make decision because it feels good to the flesh. This is what I want. I'm doing this because this is what I want. But in the long run, you always have to make decision as a believer. And what the decision affect someone that's coming behind me, or am I making decision just to please me? So for me right now with my walk with Christ, I'm trying to get better in just seeking God in every decision. I know God give us common sense, and there's certain things you're not thinking about. You know, you just make a decision. Should I eat this or should you already know what you should and should not eat. If you got health issues, you know what you should stay away with. So that we don't need to elaborate more on that. But when it comes to decision that can affect you and your family and other people, you got to really truly see if it lines up with God's word. Is this just something I'm doing for God, or is this something I'm doing for just pleasing me at this moment, at this time?
That's good. Charlena says, my husband always says, never make a decision in the midst of the storm. That's good advice. One of the ones that I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say, and it's always stuck with me, was never make a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I've done it. Mm-hmm. And when I heard him say that, I looked back and was like, that's where I messed up. Mm-hmm. You know, never make a permanent decision based on something that's temporary, because mm-hmm. things are going to constantly change. You know, so when you make a decision, what are you when it comes to processing, okay, should I do this, should I not do this, what are you basing your ability to make the decision on? I love what Dr. Tamika said, you know, making sure that you are in alignment with Christ, with God, with His word. What does His word have to say about it? You know, oftentimes people, they are stuck on the will of God. You know, is this God's will for me? So sometimes they will either do something or not do something, or they will not make a decision because they don't know if they're in the will of God. Well, the word of God will lead you to the will of God. But in order to truly walk in the will of God for your life, you have to constantly renew your mind. And that's something that I've been actually studying on lately. It's just, you know, what does it mean to renew our mind in the word of God and to be in alignment, making sure that our decisions are in alignment with God. First Lady, one of the First Lady at our church, First Lady Christy Cower, one of the things that she says is go with peace. You know, it helps her to make decisions when she goes with the Spirit. If she's praying about something and she doesn't feel too eerie, if she starts feeling eerie about a certain decision, she's not going to do it, mm-hmm. you know. But oftentimes the Spirit of God will give her peace, like just an overwhelming peace about something that maybe that she has been praying on. And she knows that when she has that, okay, I'm good. I can do this. I can walk in. I'm going to be okay doing this. Making this certain decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Georgette says, always seek God. Amen. Always seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Put Him first when it comes to making those decisions. Yes. There was, one of the strategies that Allie said in the video, she said the 10-10-10 rule. And she was basically saying, okay, am I going to want this in 10 seconds. Am I going to want this? I believe it was like 10 days, or about 10 years. Yeah. So, and I was like, I've never heard that before. Yeah. I was like, that's an interesting way, you know, to decide, do you really need something, you know, or are you going to want this 10 years from now? You know, when it comes to relationships, you know, are you going to want to be in this relationship 10 years from now, looking at it the way that it is, you know, your finances, you know, there's sometimes I'm like, when you think about it in that sense, you know, it makes you, for me, it makes me want to save my money. Because there's some things that I will probably want right now, but 10 years from now, I want to be in a better spot. So I'm know that in order to get there, there's certain decisions that I need to make now in order to get to where I desire to be later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like you say, 10 years, let's try 10 months. You may make a decision right now. This is what I want, but take, for instance, shopping. I gotta have this. I gotta have this. And you purchased this item and you wore it one time and it's hanging up in your closet. And in 10 months, you forgot that you had the item.
Exactly. Yep. Or you gain weight or you lose weight.
Can't wear it no more.
Can't wear it no more. Done wore it one time. Can't wear it no more. Fallon says, Jeremiah 10:23, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. Yes. And there's another scripture. You may make a plan, but God is going to order your steps. Mm-hmm. There have been times when I have made plans and it didn't always come out the way I wanted it to. We talked about this, I think, last week, and you asked me, you know, what do you do? What do you do when that happens? There have been times when I have made plans, you know, thinking that God was going to be behind me on the plan, like I'm going to have his favor and everything. And I look and I'm like, what happened? You know, but I found that God had a better plan, you know? So sometimes we have to realize if God shuts a door, you better believe he's going to have a better door for you to walk in, you know? And so continue to trust him in times when it seems like, he put a no. I heard somebody say, he doesn't say no. His word, his promise is yes. Amen. He may say not now, you know? And so we have to be willing to trust him and wait on him and allow him to have his perfect work in us as he's preparing us to walk in whatever door he has for us. Fallon says, amen. Yes. Yes.
And you know, that is actually really good, Barry, because when I was hearing you talk, I thought about me in a situation because I knew it was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I knew God was telling me my season was up in a job. And I knew it. And I waited and I spoke it daily. But things were beginning to happen that even some of my coworkers were saying, I thought you said God said you leaving. You still here. Even to the point that I was tempted to apply for a promotion. But God was teaching me. I say you're leaving, stand on my word. There were some things that I also had to work out during that time, but God was teaching me that when I give you something, even though it doesn't manifest the timing when you think it should, but I'm going to come through. And let me tell you what blessed me, because I stand on his word for a whole year where my coworkers were saying, are you sure you need to go back and pray? When promotion came and God told me not to apply for the promotion, and everyone was like, maybe you need to go back in prayer because you already doing the job. You know, go back in prayer. It was like everything was coming against me to go against what I already knew what God was telling me. God was telling me your season here is up. It's coming to an end. And I had to go through some things. But what stuck with me is I stood on that word, even though I was mocked. Even though people laughed at it, people thought it was crazy. People even thought it was crazy because I wasn't applying for an opportunity or promotion. So you're not going to apply for a promotion because you're saying God say you're leaving, but you're still here. God told me exactly when my time was up. He gave it to me and said, this is the week. It's coming to an end. So I sat in a meeting, not even having a job offer, Mary, and I told them, my time is up. I need to go ahead and prepare y'all for this transition. And they looked at me and said, well, did you get a job offer? Remind you, I didn't have a job offer. That job offer didn't come through until the end of the week, but I stood on his word. And one girl came behind me when I was walking out, and it brought tears to my eyes. She said, let me tell you what I learned from you. She said, I learned to stand on God's word. She said, you never waver. Even when we was asking you for promotion, why was you passing up promotion? You turned down promotion because you knew what God had told you, and you made a decision to pass up on promotion because you knew God was faithful. And I learned to be faithful and stand on God's word.
Amen. Amen. Delayed but not denied. Stand on the word of God. Yes, when you have that unction, mm-hmm. when God tells you to do something, do it. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's decision making right there. Because who's to know what would have happened if you wouldn't have made that decision? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do y'all have any? Helen says, amen. Georgette, praise him. Yes. Powerful testimony. Amen. Do y'all have any stories that you want to share? Things that you want to share or testimonies, you know, or questions? If so, at this time, go ahead, type it in the chat, you know, and I will share it. We can talk about it. Also, one of the things that was shared on the video when it comes to decision making, know that you don't always have to make a decision on your own. You know, they shared about having mentors and trusted mm-hmm. advisors in your life, people that, you know, yes, we have God, and we have his spirit, but God has also placed leaders and people in your life that you can talk to, you can go to them and ask them for prayer, ask them for wise counsel, you know, so people that you can trust that can speak into your life, having those good mentors would help you make good decisions as well. Trying to see if anybody. Joanne says amen. I'm just giving y'all time to give you guys some time to type.
And, you know, I was thinking about when we were talking about and kind of going back a little bit while we're giving people some time to talk in case they have a testimony. When you was talking about rotten fruit and you were saying it's like molded, and when it touches something else, it contaminates it. And then I kind of thought about a house, you know. When they say you have mold in your house, they have to move you out because it causes sickness. You can get wheezing. You can get a whole bunch of stuff that you can get because there's mold in your house. Just think about when your mouth is corrupt and you got spiritual mold, what it does to you. If it does that to a house physically and you are corrupt with mold in your mouth and how you speak and how you communicate, think spiritually what it does to you.
Yes. Yes. There, right before one of the prayers when we were praying before we got on the podcast, the scripture came to me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a prayer that we need to pray. That is a prayer that David prayed, mm-hmm. you know, that the words that he spoke, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is coming out of your mouth, especially when you're not joking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The words that you are saying, it reveals what's on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. It's revealing what's really happening here, you know, in your soul. And I think sometimes that's really when I begin to really understand the importance of listening. Because a lot of times when people are talking, what they're doing is they're revealing what's on their heart. You know, they're revealing what's at the forefront of their mind. You know, what keeps them up at night? You know, what's stressing them out? Mm-hmm. That's when they're not guarded, when their heart is not guarded, when they're going through life, when they're dealing with all of these different things, that's what's going to be coming out of their mouth. When you hear a person who is always negative, when you hear a person who, like, you know, you talk to them every day, when you go to work, and everything that every day is the same thing. They don't have nothing positive to say, no kind of encouragement. That's because they have been weighted down by the world. They don't, and whatever has been weighting them down, it's been weighting on their heart. And it's been so heavy that whatever life they had, it's beginning to diminish. And you mm-hmm. can, and that's what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. When they're coming, when you go to work and that's all that they're saying, that's what you're hearing. You're hearing, this is how I feel right now. You're hearing their soul. You're hearing mm-hmm. their soul cry. And if you're ever in those positions, know that when you're hearing that God is allowing you that the Spirit of God will allow mm-hmm. you to hear those things, because he needs you to put some life into them. You know, to mm-hmm. be the light in the dark place.
It's kind of like that old saying, you know, when you hear a drunk person, and you know, we all don't hear that a drunk mind speak a sober heart.
Yeah.
They yep. speak a sober heart. It's so it's only the alcohol that enticed them to speak what they really feel. Because normally they don't say nothing, but as soon as they're drunken, they speak what they truly feel in the heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. So we have a big task as women, you know, and I believe as women that God has given us the nurturing ability to be able to truly give life where there's barren land, mm-hmm. you know, to bring forth fruit in a barren land through our words. You know, and just being there as a mouthpiece. So nobody else has said anything. So at this time, y'all, this is it. I hope and pray that you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I hear thundering, so I'm about to make some good decisions. and I give God praise for allowing us to get through this podcast. Shalonda is not here. And the reason why is because I did not do a great job communicating this week with my podcast host. Because, and as you see, when communication fails, there becomes a disconnection. And so this is just a prime example of what happens when there's a failure in communication. Miscommunication can lead to disconnection. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And so we have a lot of compliments. Great job. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for tuning in. So we're going to be coming back in 2 weeks. And actually in 2 weeks, we're going to have a special guest with us. And I will be sharing who that person is after on the podcast. And I'll be sharing it inside of the group page. She's the author of a new book called The Wealth Transfer. And she's going to be talking to us, well, sharing with us. We're going to be having a conversation, but she will be coming on. Her name is Lugenia. She will be coming on sharing with us about the importance of mindset. And that's going to be some of the videos that we watch this week as well. Do y'all have any prayer requests? If so, you know, type it in and we will definitely, you know, pray for you, pray with you concerning anything and everything. Prayer request. If not, I'm going to ask Dr. Tamika to just pray us out. Moving transition. Okay, so Charlena is moving and she's praying about, she's asking for prayer for moving and transition. And then, of course, communication, decision making. And I believe that is all of the prayer requests. Will you pray for us, Dr. Tamika?
Yes, God, we thank you, Father, for who you are, Father God. You are magnificent in all your ways. You are mighty, Lord God. We give you all the praises and all the honor and all the glory, Father God. There's nobody greater than you, Father God. You are a way maker, Father God. You are, Father God, our peace, our shalom, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for getting us together, Father God. We thank you for the tools that you are giving us, Father God, to look just like Christ, Father God. Even when we fall, Father God, we call on Jesus, Father God, because we know, Father God, that everything that's in us, Father God, is of him, Father God. We thank you for today, Father God. We thank you for your grace and mercy. It's because of you, Father God, that we are here. We thank you for life, not just for us, but our family members, for every member on this podcast, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the unity that you're bringing, Father God, a divine connection, Father God, only appointed by you, Lord God. Lord God, we come and we pray for Shaluna's transition, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you bless her move, Father God. We bless you. Bless her going, Father God, leaving from Dallas, going to South Carolina, Father God. We pray for the highways as she travel, Father God. We pray for traveling mercy, not just for her, Father God, for everyone that's going to help her travel, Father God. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do, Father God. There's nobody greater than you, Lord God. You are the great communicator, Father God. You have given us the Bible, Father God, to teach us, Father God, your ways. And we say thank you. Thank you, God, for this, Father God. We close out, Father God, honoring you for who you are, Father God. And we say thank you and glory to your name. In Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.